Welcome to Pet Sitter Confessional. Today, we're brought to you by Time to Pet and the Peaceful Pet Music, Calm Music for Pets YouTube channel. What's the mindset we need to have to grow and scale our business? How do we go about building and managing a team? And how do we continue to adapt to our business as it changes around us, all while keeping a focus on the love of pets and their clients? Amy Garrison, owner of Oh My Dog Sitters, joins the show today. Let's get started.
I'm Amy Garrison. I own Oh My Dog Sitters in Olympia, Washington. I started Oh My Dog in 2017 with a friend of mine, actually. It kind of came about, I had a dog who, her back end basically gave out. This was back in 2013, and we knew that she had hip problems because she'd broken her leg as a puppy, and at a year old, her hips already looked bad, and it all caught up with her when she was about 11. So we took her to, hydrotherapy, and she went to hydrotherapy, massage, and acupuncture, and laser therapy, and we rehabbed her, and she lived for another year and a half after that. There were several times in there we really thought she was done for, but she was just like, you know, when her back end gave out, she was running through the yard with the other dog, and her back end fell, and she just kept going, like, I don't need those. You know, so I was like, what do you do with that?
Oh, no.
And she was always very happy and, you know, a really good patient. And she got to where she could get up and move around on her own. And she had a good life until a tumor took her out. But so while I was there, this is where one day she also had a tumor on her wrist that got larger than I expected it to. And it kind of broke open on the bottom. And so when it was healed up enough to actually put her back in the treadmill, I kept it wrapped up all the time so she wouldn't knock it on things and make it bleed. And as I'm wrapping her up one day, the person at rehab, who actually became a friend of mine, we just got to talking. She's like, you know, you should do like respite care for dogs. And she actually ended up starting the business with me originally. And then situations changed and she had to have a full-time job, like with regular hours and pay. So she left me, but, all was good. But we originally started with a real lean towards senior dog care, senior pet care, special needs animals, dealing with long lists of instructions and not making people feel bad about that. Because I know when I would hire a sitter, I'd be like, okay, well, here's my dog and here's how you have to get her up and around. And here's the 5 medications that she takes and the 10 supplements that she takes and all of the things. And I just felt bad. Like, I'm like, giving you this huge list. And so when I first started, for sure, you know, and I'm like, people would be having that same reaction. I was like, oh, I've been there. I am very familiar with this. So if you look at my website, you'll see it still references a lot of that aspect of things. For now, I'm actually going to have the website redone. And, because we've grown a lot and, I have employees now and they don't all have that same background, I'm actually going to remove the medical aspect of that. And I mean, I'm not a vet tech or anything like that. It's just life experience with some very complex dogs that I've had.
Yeah.
But so that's kind of how we started. It was a slow start, but, you know, it's just like kind of the first year was pretty quiet and then it kind of doubled and then it doubled again. And well, then there was 2020 and it didn't double that year, but, 2021, it came back with a vengeance and we hit 6 figures last year, or in 2022, we hit 6 figures. And then I think in 2023, we grew like, I think it was a 41% increase between 22 and 23.
Wow.
I think between 21 and 22 was like a 78% increase. or that was the year. Anyway, one of those years. It was a lot. Yeah, so it's been kind of just a, we've just been running for like 30 years.
Well, that's you mentioned like the slow start. And I know a lot of people, when they start their business, that slowness is incredibly frustrating, right?
Yes.
Of like, oh my gosh, can this train get out of the station yet? And a lot of people, they quit or they put it off to the side because they don't see those results. And it really is something that giving it really is a logistics curve where it takes so long and then it's just this rocket up. You know, did you have those feelings of frustration in the beginning days, or what was that like?
A little bit. I'm kind of fortunate. I was in a position where I didn't have to have the income. Right. So that relieved a lot of the pressure of, I have to do this. I have to take that job. I have to do, you know, it took away the panic that if this is a terrible idea and it doesn't work, well, I guess I'm just out, like, you know, the startup costs. And I remember like in 2020, I was doing, you know, because there was nothing going on, which is when I discovered the groups on Facebook. I had no idea that any of the pet sitter groups were out there. Any of this stuff was out there. And I don't know what made me look it up one day, but one day I just put in the search bar and then it was like, boom, a whole world of things opened up for me. And yeah. I think I was doing one of Kristen Morrison's courses, or once she did the 30 day things that she was doing.
Yeah, those challenges.
And I was started with doing some goal setting, and at the time it was me and I had an independent contractor who was pretty part-time, and I was like, I want to have, my goal for 2021 was 40 visits a week for the two of us combined. That was the goal. And I'm like, man, now that's like nothing. You know, like, we're kind of quiet right now. We had, I think, like 85 visits this week or something like that. But, and that feels slow. So it's, yeah, it's a big change.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, it sounded like this started as something, I mean, was it started as something that was just kind of fun to do or see where it went, or were you, did you anticipate this to grow and be your thing 5 years
ago? Not at all.
6 years
ago. It was like kind of a part-time, I hadn't been working for a while voluntarily, and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do because I did need to go back to work. We were winging it, really, is kind of what it boils down to. I did not anticipate what it is now. I absolutely did not anticipate that. And that's one of the reasons why I'm kind of always behind the curve, because it's just going and going and going. And I was like, I'm still trying to get stuff done from back here. Like last year, I was going to have somebody redo the website last year, when I'm like, oh, it'll be slow in January and February. And then it wasn't that, it was twice of what it was the year before. And I was like, I don't even have time to sit down. I haven't even sat down and figured out what I want to tell the web designer I want. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm not going to hire her and just be like, yeah, take a guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did not at all anticipate where it is now. And I remember, like, you know, talk of six-figure businesses, I was like, oh, that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. Wasn't really a thing until it was a thing. And I was just like, oh, well, here we are.
And I don't know, you know, how I know for us, as our business has grown, I can step back every now and then, and sometimes in amazement, sometimes in like pure terror, realize like where it is. And it's such a weird feeling to be like, wow, this is, look at this thing that's being built, the commitment from the staff, the trust and love from the community. Wow, that's really scary. Like, because we never thought it could get to this point. And what, no matter what that point is on your business journey, it's not like a number of revenue or a number of staff. It's just sometimes when you step back, there's this like awe and terror at like, wow, like it's actually a thing and it's actually doing something.
Well, and I still feel like I guess I don't really talk to a lot of people about specifically what happens in my business. Most like people back home, right? And I'd be like, I own a pet sitting dog walking business. And like my husband he went back to where he used to work and had lunch with some people. And they asked what I was doing. He's like, oh, she's, doing pet sitting. And they're like, oh, like, oh, isn't that cute? You know, he's like, yeah, it's a 6-figure business now. And they were like, huh?
Yeah.
I feel like people don't really, I mean, I guess I can't blame them. I didn't really expect it to be this either, but people don't really grasp how it all works and what's going on with it. They know I'm busy all the time because I'm never around when they call.
and it is that too of because it's something so far outside of many of our own backgrounds, right? Like I've talked with people before about kind of how our business operates and stuff. And yeah, their eyes kind of get really big saucer like, and they kind of start looking around like, is this real? And I'm like, oh, and then we do this and we have to this schedule and we've got to do route planning. And the number of people who are like, you were in the logistics management. Like you were like Amazon at that point. You were like UPS in route planning and staffing and knowing where man hours can go and all this stuff. And it's like, oh yeah, actually you're right. Like this is actually a really big thing. And no matter the scale at business, if you are working as a solo sitter or if you have a team of 40 sitters, like it is still a complicated monster, right? That we get to tackle.
This schedule, actually I do use my Time to Pet schedule to demonstrate to people what's like, if I'm talking, I'll just pop open my computer. Like this is what it looks like. And they're like, the eyes glaze over. Like how do you even do that?
Yeah.
And because the schedule really is the hardest. It is the hardest thing, but on the list of hard things, the schedule is really up there. I kind of like it though. It's like a giant puzzle. And I do get some satisfaction out of getting all the pieces into the right places. And sometimes my best laid plans just fly by the wayside because things happen and people get behind. I was like, oh, I had this grand coordination plan and it didn't work. But we adapt and go on. But
have you heard of Time to Pet? Doug from Bad to the Bone Pet Care has this to say.
Time to Pet has made managing my team and clients so much easier. Our clients love the easy-to-use app and scheduling features, and our sitters love being able to have all of their information organized and easily accessible. My favorite feature is the instant messaging. By keeping conversations on Time to Pet, we are able to monitor our team and ensure nothing ever falls through the cracks.
If you're looking for new pet sitting software, give Time to Pet a try. Listeners of our show can save 50% off your first 3 months by visiting timetopet.com/confessional. Well, and that busyness too, like you mentioned, you feel like you're always like working on yesterday's work today. And in that feeling of I'm never quite caught up, there's always something extra. Is that motivating to you? Or because I know like for me personally, when I start to really look at the clouds and start realizing where I'm not getting to and how much work there's, I get defeated, right? And I start to retract and I go, no, actually I'm not. But I know a lot of people get energized by that. And they're like, yeah, more things to do.
No, I get a little overwhelmed by that. And I feel like a lot of times I'm like apologizing to my staff because I'm like, I'm sorry, I haven't got that done yet. Sorry, I don't have that done yet. Sorry, I don't have that thing worked out yet. Sorry, I don't have that employee handbook actually out to you yet. Sorry, I don't have SOPs written yet. So I'm, and that's where one of my biggest struggles has been is trying to actually get the systems in place so that they can do it without me.
Yeah.
That's like, I also have kind of a lack, my background, I've had various jobs. Almost all of them were very small businesses, not corporate things with structure and employee reviews. And I think I had a job with an employee handbook once, maybe. I don't know. Like I worked for many years ago, I worked in food service for my first jobs. I worked at a family run ski resort in there. I worked at a family-run flower shop for a long time. I worked for a sole proprietor sign shop. Like, I used to do vinyl sign design and application. And it was just like, you know, there's like five people that work there. And then I was a realtor in Montana and Alaska. And so it's all been like this various collection of things that I have done, but none of them have been particularly like structured other than you go to work and this is what you do, you know? So I've struggled with like, how do I create policies? You know, like, what do I want the policy to be? And how do I create all these policies and the handbook and all the things, and I think I have it. And then something happens and I realize, oh, no, I have to refine that. So then I still don't get, you know, that stuff done. And the more people I bring on, the more diverse backgrounds that come in, I realize where my instructions are lacking. And so then I'm like, oh, I kind of fixed that in there too.
Yeah.
And then I had had an employee who had been practically full time, and she left in November. And so then I was, and I think that's when originally, like, we were in contact, and I was just like, I had just onboarded two part-timers and then she left. And then it was like, oh crap, it's November. And so then I'm still out on visits. So that's also the problem. Like, I need to not be doing visits. I need to create proper instruction and delegate a lot of the things that I do to my staff. And that's my thing this year. It's like, I need to, well, there's always one that comes up that I'm like, oh, I'll still do that one. Like, we just took on, so I live in the capital of Washington and it's legislative session right now. And it's like, we've got some clients that are just for, they're going to be daily visits through the session, because when, they work really, really long days during the legislative session. And so, like, one of our current clients is a blind dog. And so it's like, well, I can't just send everybody, because right now my daily staff kind of rotates. So it's like, I'm not going to send everybody in with the blind dog, right? Like, it's a new client. It's a little sensitive as far as, like, there are things that, I mean, because he can see light and shadows. And like, sometimes if it's bright sunlight, it changes how he perceives things when we're outside. And so I was like, okay, well, it's just till March. I can, you know, there's two of us that will take care of this dog to kind of keep things a little stable for him. I have to stop doing things like that.
it's a reflex though, isn't it, Amy? We're like, as we've brought on staff, I know you mentioned this, and I really, like, when you said that, I was like, right, like, diverse backgrounds. Like, recognizing, like, Megan and I, we've been doing this for 12 years. Like, the things that I look at and I go, yeah, no problem. I got that. We can do that. Realizing, like, did I train our staff to do that?
Right.
Or is that my skill set? Is that my wheelhouse? Oh, okay. Maybe I need to start changing this a little bit, because we can't always be the saviors that step in and take things over, because that's not the goal that we have for our business. And that does mean that necessity means that we are going to have to change the kind of visits and care that we give if our goal is to not be in the field doing that work anymore. And that's a struggle. Because we get requests, and my first, easy. I'll do that. Absolutely.
Oh, you have a 70-pound reactive dog? Oh, that's no big deal. I can do that.
And then I have to go, wait. And it's not in this discussion, it's like, it's not a, oh, we don't have well-trained staff, or that's not, but it's like, that's not where their strengths are, right? That's not where their history is, where their passion may be. And so working in that and going, how does this work as a team to continue to provide a high level of care, but maybe not for everybody. And that's hard for us.
And especially because I used to take everybody, you know, when we first started, there's a longtime cat only sitter. I think she's been in business since, I'm going to say maybe 2002. I haven't looked at her website in a long time, but she moved across town. She scaled down her service area a lot. And I still don't actually know how she found us. May have been through her vet, because we did use the same vet, but I cannot remember if I ever told the vet that I had started this business. But either way, she started referring people to me, and they were on like the outer edges of town, you know, like what now is our secondary service area that we still go out there, but we charge more for it now.
Okay.
You know, some that were farther away, some that, you know, needed more visits later in the day. And she kind of just pared down and sent a lot of people to us, which was a beautiful thing, because it's really like, that's one of the ways that we first got started was referrals from another pet sitter. Okay. And I had never met her. And I didn't even meet her. We emailed a little bit after maybe a year of people telling me that she had referred them to me. And I think I met her like 2 years in, you know. And actually now we actually sub for her so she can have days off. Hmm. Yeah, she's kind of the one that put me in the mindset of having a cooperative relationship with other pet sitters in the area. I've done a lot of job sharing, like a couple of different sitters with diabetic cats. They do the morning, I do the night, some of those kind of things. And that's how it worked to this, where we sub for her days off. We have an arrangement. And so that's how she can ever get days off sometimes, is just we go take care of the cats and she gets to stay home in her pajamas. It's a beautiful relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and there was another local sitter back in December sent me an email. I've met her a couple of times, and she thought she might have to have a short notice surgery. And she's like, I won't find out till December 1st. And I have these booked and I don't know what I'm going to do. And, you know, I was like, let me look and see if, you know, she kind of gave me the description. I was like, I can definitely fit this one in. I can fit that one in. I have some trouble with this one. She's like, okay. I'm like, just let me know. If you need us to take it, we'll take it. And she was like, oh, you know, she's because I didn't know what I was going to do. And so it's been really nice to be able to have good contact with some of the other sitters. I see a lot of new people coming in, and I always like, I actually started a Facebook group for local sitter for our area sitters. I do make them be insured to join though, because I was like, you gotta have a license and insurance if you want to join this Facebook group. So a lot of them don't. And I am trying to, bring them into, you know, like I would like to get to know the new sitters. It's just a little bit hard, especially when all I'm doing is running around.
Well, again, yet another benefit where that time back gives us, because that's where we go, look, if I can do this, that makes everybody better, right? And going, right. Look, it's not me going, oh, I'm going to bring them in and make them do things my way. It's going, no, we can all talk. Right? We can all have backups, because that's, as you know, as a solo sitter, like that's even us who has a team. It's like sometimes things just don't work out and you need somebody to reach out to. And it's not just this person's outside my service area, or maybe this isn't a good fit for how we operate, but it could just be, look, we need help covering something. Like that's where that network really comes into play.
You know, there's an area. So we work in three cities in our county, because they're all right next to each other.
Yeah.
And so our service area is still a little bit too big. One of my things I'm going to be doing soon, aside from raising rates and I'm going to start charging for consultations. I'm going to start charging some cancellation fees. I'm going to start charging some late booking fees, you know, nothing extreme, but something. And I'm going to take off the two farthest out service areas from the website. We don't do a lot of them out there, and we can do cats if they're out that far, but like I won't do the dogs that are out that far, because it just doesn't work. But there's an area of town that I've had a number of requests, and it's just like there's a big retirement community up there, and I always feel bad. I'm like, well, we can do it, but because of where you are from where I am, it's expensive.
Yeah.
And so I tend to refer those to the sitter that I know lives closer. And I was like, you know, I try and send them up there because I was like, I could do it and I can charge you a lot more for it. But I don't really want to do that if we don't have to. If I can send it to a competent, licensed and insured professional pet sitter who lives closer to you, I'll send it along, right? Like, we're definitely not desperate.
Yeah, well, and that's that too of going, we've had that decision so many times of going, ooh, I could do you, but I would need like two or three other people out there to make it really worth our time. And sure, it's going to be extremely costly if we charge what we need to make it worth our time, if it's just you. So let's find you another option because I'm really not the best one. And then we have to figure out like, okay, I got a request. Do I need to focus my marketing and everything over there to drum up more so I can take people? Or do I need to focus over here on my service area or shrink back a little bit so that I'm more optimized?
And that's, you know, it's a hard thing. Like we, a lot of our work is actually across town. So I live kind of in, I don't actually live in city limits, but I'm right in between Lacey and Olympia. Okay. And a lot of our work is on the west side. And we do take clients that are farther out on the west side because we're out on the west side all the time anyway. And so you can kind of hop from one to the other to the other. So even though, sure, that's a 20, 25 minute drive way the heck out there, many times we're already halfway there or three quarters of the way there. And sometimes we're right down the block already. So that kind of works. It's just really, you know, and that's the direction. So more of our work is to the west. And like the place that I try to refer out is northeast. And I was like, we're just not there enough to make it really viable. I do have one employee who lives up there now. So I'm like, well, maybe, but I only have her I only have her in the mornings on the weekdays. So I'm like, you know, if it's just kind of depends on where people start out, because we do all travel all over our service area because we're still small enough where I'm basically try to schedule people in shifts. So if you're out, I'm sending you there.
Yeah.
Usually I can send them out, loop them back around. I can start them sort of close to home and loop them back around kind of close to home. I try, because they're not getting paid for the, you know, the commute portion of the visit. And I try not to abuse that. If I can give them a stop along the way, so they're clocked in, they're getting paid mileage, you know, they're going to be happier. You know, I'm going to feel better about it. So we seem to be west more than we seem to be east. And so I'm more willing to take farther out ones that are on the west side because we're already there.
Yeah, we've done that too of when we get those people that are requesting it and they're really far away. It's like, well, I have nobody else out there, so I can't take you on. But sometimes people request further out and right, we're going, well, I'm kind of already halfway or three quarters of the way there, so I can add you this weekend, but this can't be a consistent thing. And if we're looking as a business to have more consistency in the kind of clients that we're booking, we know that the client also wants consistency in who's serving them. It's like, okay, well, this relationship isn't going to work.
Yeah. I do like one of the things on my to-do list, which is very long. So I am looking to take a lot of the work that I do off of my plate and put it on somebody else's. And I want, there are things like, I want somebody to take on an admin position because there's things that I want to happen and they keep getting tossed by the wayside because we're just busy. And I'm like, well, I don't have time for those nice things. So like, the priority is be where we're supposed to be to take care of the animals. And sometimes the niceties get left behind and things that would really go towards building customer loyalty and some promotion. Like right now, I don't do any advertising. I have a website. I have a website.
Okay. How are you getting connected with clients then?
So either they find me on Google, with the website, and on the website, I mean, I try to be very, I do need to tweak things. And like I said, you know, take kind of the medical aspect of things off of there. But you know, they can see our service area, they can see our pricing, the pricing differences, like all the things are there. So I'm like, please don't call me and ask me these questions. Cause I'm just going to send you a voicemail. My voicemail at this point refers you to the website. Cause that's where it's at.
Yeah.
And, we get referrals from other pet sitters, from our clients, from my vet is actually a really good referral source. She actually sent me an employee too. Okay. it's good to have a good relationship with your vet.
Yeah.
You know, like she also like really appreciates the fact that I take care of my aunt. When I go into the vet, I'm like, yes, do the things, do the blood work. We will get the medication. I say yes. Mm. They like that. And yeah, so it's basically Google and referrals. I have cards at other vet offices around town. We have a regional pet supply store. I think I still have some. I haven't even gone back and like refreshed my business cards in places for I don't even know how long. When I go shop at the pets, when I go to Mud Bay, I do look and see if my cards are still there. And if it's empty, I put some more there. And that's really like, yeah, there's right now I'm doing no actual marketing. My business Facebook page is stagnant. I never bothered to learn Instagram. We're just going.
Yeah, well, and I think it's a reminder of focus on something, right? And it's not everything. I think too often we business owners, we get caught up in like, I have to be doing everything all of the time.
I have to post on Facebook every day, all the time. And like, and nobody sees it. So
yeah. And I've also got to be doing Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and Twitter and LinkedIn. And I have to be running a blog and I have to be boosting these things and running this ad and going into talking to people and just stopping and going, no, what do I have time for? And what's, you know, what's actually paying off, fostering that relationship with that vet, continue to go that way, right? Like if that's working, we're going to double down on that every single time and build those relationships too, with those referrals.
My, when I get all my stuff together, so I did also start a dog walking club, back in, was it 2020 or 2021 when Tracy Bisson had the masterclass on that. I was part of that. Okay. I have picked up clients from that. And then also that client referred me to other people. I would really, really like to get that functioning again. It kind of went by the wayside, because I started it and then my dog died. Mm. And I was like, well, I can come to the dog walking club and I have no dog.
Yeah.
And then I got another dog, and that was both of those dogs were senior yellow labs when I adopted them. And my second senior lab, she couldn't walk very far. So that kind of worked for a while until it didn't. And then we adopted a younger dog, my foster fail, in 2022. And I was like, you know, she could go, but she was afraid of everybody for the first year. I think the last club walk I did, my dog refused to walk because she was scared of the giant Malamute puppy. Oh. And she wouldn't move. She just was like, she froze and was like, I couldn't get her to go anywhere. And I was like, well, this is a problem. She's much better now. Now she would go, but I haven't had time to actually resurrect the club. Yeah. But I think that my first marketing things when I get through my list a little bit or need to do the things, I would really like to get the dog walking club going. And also, I want to start a client referral program, because I haven't done that either. And, but those I think will be the first steps to, to doing some marketing.
You know, the dog walking club, what are some basics for that? Because I know that's something that I've heard a lot of people like mention or like say how to do it, but like, how are you approaching that and making that work for you? You know, or like, what are your thoughts of when you bring that back?
So, what I feel like I need to do, consistency was a problem with that. And then trying to like, when I would have time, when I started it, we weren't all that busy. And then, like I said, my dog died and I didn't have a dog. And it's kind of weird when you show up and it was very small. We'd get like two or three people who would come and I'm like, here, I'm here and I have no dog. That's weird. But I feel like so it's a Facebook group. I do also have a well, I don't think I actually have the website. I have the URL reserved. I bought that. It's Ollie Dog Adventures is my dog walking club. Okay. And so it's a Facebook group. I think there's probably 300 people in there. Not that they're, and that there's any activity, or, you know, by no means would there be 300 people. I mean, we were lucky to get 5 people to show up, but I also wasn't doing it on a very consistent basis once we kind of got rolling. Cause then in, like I said, in 2020, like about June of 2021, we just got hammered busy. And every time I think, okay, I'm gonna schedule a walk and we're going to do this thing. And I was like, I'm so tired. I was like, I have like a 3-hour window in that day and I think I'm going to stay home. What I would really like to be able to do is have one of my staff members manage the Facebook page and actually engage with the club. And because what I envision it to be as a good way for people to get to know us and to get to know our staff and to get to see how we interact with dogs, without having to book us first. And, you know, for those that are like, well, I don't know, like, I'm not really sure about a pet sitter. I'm not really sure about a dog walker, like having the stranger come to my house. You know, I feel like it's a good way for people to get to know us with no real commitment, right? Like, and actually the client that I definitely did acquire from the dog walking club, I think I must have still had my lab then, and she was the only one who came on this walk. So we had a nice chat, and she was trying to get somebody to come over Thanksgiving, and I actually had some availability. So she's, you know, been a client for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really good, it has a lot of potential for client acquisition, frankly.
Yeah, well, and just again building those relationships, and I love that the goal to build that trust and let people see you, because that's something of going, man, how do we communicate what we do unless they book us? But they're not going to book us unless they know what we do. And so it's like this chicken and egg problem, and we're just going to circumvent that entire thing and go, you want to see us in action? Or basically, like,
here we are.
Do you want to walk your dog with a group of people? Cool. You're also going to see how we do that and get to know people relationally.
Yes. With the masterclass, she also had ways to, it could be an income producing option on the back end of that. But I didn't ever do any of that part. Really, we just got as far as, you know, getting the group set up. We went and, like, it's also part of the purpose of the dog walking club is to get to know good. There's a lot of nice outdoor areas here. I mean, I live in the Pacific Northwest. It's gorgeous out there. You can walk on trails in the woods, but if you're by yourself and you don't know where those trails go, it's a little intimidating.
A lot of pet owners don't know how to react when their beloved pet is facing a bout with anxiety, noise sensitivity, or depression. However, various studies have shown that animals react very positively when calming music is played for them. As a trusted pet sitter, have your clients check out the Peaceful Pet Music, Calm Music for Pets on YouTube, where they can give their pet the best chance at relaxing while they're away. From peaceful melodies to soothing nature sounds, this YouTube channel is the go-to spot when your client's pet is anxious and you don't know where to turn. Complete with beautiful and vibrant animations, their videos will become your home for the tools needed to keep the client's pet in a state of peacefulness. Be sure to subscribe to Peaceful Pet Music, Calm Music for Pets on YouTube, and hit that bell so you never miss a moment of calm. And I know one aspect, Amy, that kind of this theme that keeps coming up of as far as like you are looking for ways to get things off of your plate, right? And
yes.
You know, that can be emotionally for a lot of people, because that can be an emotional thing because we think we can handle everything. We think we've got everything under control, or maybe I'm the only one that can do it. When did you start seeing like, I'm the bottleneck. Like I'm causing some issues in my business.
For sure last year. I think actually it was one of the podcasts with Natasha.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't remember her last name right now, but
Obeying.
Yeah. I'm pretty positive it was something she had said, where when you hire employees and you're like, nobody can do this as well as I can. And in reality, your employees can kind of do it better than you can, because they don't have the 50 other things running through their brain, having to deal with other things going on. They can go in, they can do the visit, they can do the work, and they can go. Whereas I go, I'm like, oh, that's one of my employees. I have to check this. I have to do that. I have to keep track of all the things. I'm like, in reality, they kind of can do it better than me. And that was kind of a mindset shift. You know, she kind of planted that seed of, well, you know, maybe I should think about things a little bit. But it's when I realized it's like, oh, because everything waits on me. The clients, it's really when the clients were contacting me and I was so busy. Like, I know it's awful. And I feel like the new client onboarding is terrible. Like, people will wait sometimes days for me to get back to them, because I'm like, I just can't do it because I'm here and I'm here and I'm here and I've got this and I've got to get the schedules and I have to get payroll done. I'm like, well, I'll call you back someday. And that's what it's really been like for many months of like my new client onboarding is terrible. And we still grew 41% over last year.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm like, this area clearly has a need. And there is so much potential for this business if I can get the systems in place to make it run. And that's that. But basically, I realized last year that I'm the bottleneck. I'm the one that has the client, the new client contacts. I'm the one that does the meet and greets. I'm the one who's doing the scheduling. I'm doing keeping track of, you know, if there's a problem in the field, like my employee just called me because there was a problem. And I'm like, it's all me. And I'm exhausted.
Well, and like you said, like, oh, like there's so much potential here. And is my business growing because of me, or kind of like in spite of me? Like, and that's not a good feeling, but sometimes we have to admit that, of going like, oh, if I weren't the one doing this, we'd be in a better position. Or if I wasn't the only one doing this, the company would be better off. And that takes a definite, you said mindset shift. I'm going to say a little bit of humility as well, because we're not. Mm-hmm. I'm not the be all end all of this,
right.
and just letting go of some things and going, this, if unless I do this, because you know, it's kind of, I also think of it like, do I want 10 more years of working like this, of doing this? Is that what? No, it's like, no, I would not want to do this. So going, how what you're working through there. I mean, like, now, how do I steer this in a different direction?
Yep. And so I actually wrote out the other day, I'm like, okay, I'm trying to line out. I'm also part of Jane Budnick's Pet Biz MBA.
Yeah.
I don't participate a lot, but I'm able to, I get the information through the podcast as I'm driving around going, I really need to stop doing this. So I'm working on an org chart, and some positions, some more responsibility for some of my employees. I've got a couple of people who are interested in taking on more responsibility, even though I don't have them, you know, for a lot of hours, they are definitely willing to do more things for me. I do have, like, all of my staff is very good at, and they're like, you know, we'll take it. You know, they try to make things easier for me. It's me. The problem is me. I joke sometimes that I'm walking chaos, but, you know, when the place that we really truly excel is in the pet care.
Yeah.
And, like, our clients love us. Once they can get through the onboarding process and actually get us, they love us. And I have very good employees who, yeah, they do a great job. And if I can, I need to do things that will make their jobs easier. So one of the things, like, I'm looking at creating like a field manager, having somebody, also having somebody who specifically does some admin tasks, who will be the new client contact. And I'd be like, this is how we screen clients. This is how, you know, basically to get through the new client stuff and then send them over to the field manager to go do meet and greets. Yeah. Also the admin person to like keep things caught up in time to pet, because that's another problem where like there's changes to the care information and things have to be changed in the profile. It's like, oh yeah, I got to do that too, because that's me. I did the meet and greets. I know what the weird thing that didn't get put onto the profile. I'm like, oh, I've known this dog for 6 years, right? Like I can, if you don't know what weird thing the dog is doing, I can probably figure it out. Oh, you know, yeah, so there's a lot of that. So while like a lot of the back end things are kind of, they're very messy, the pet care is where we excel.
Yeah. And finding those staff, if you have staff that are existing, take that to them and going, hey, here are some responsibilities, because I know it's very overwhelming when you start being like, oh, I need a field manager, an operations manager, I need an admin, I need a, it's like, oh, that's like 17 people that I need to just suddenly hire, I guess. It's like, No. Go talk to some people that are already with your company first, right? And add them and see what they want to take on. And just like that little bit. And that's, we just take little chunks, and all of a sudden we can look up and go, okay, now that's actually a physical difference that I feel in my day when six people are doing one or two things. Like, that's huge.
Like I had a chat with one of my employees last week, about, we were talking a couple weeks ago, and she did say, you know, she would love to take on some more, on the, some of what I do. And, you know, she's just like, I do have management experience. And so we had a talk. I'm like, tell me what that means and tell me what, you know, what it is that you did in this position before. So it's kind of like in that conversation, it came out and she's like, I love to train, you know, she's like, I love to teach people how to do things. And like, she would love to train new employees. I'm like, this is good, because that's also me.
Yeah. And it is, because then now you have an employee who's more invested, right? Who feels growth, who feels potential in the company, who feels more responsibilities, who's taking
on. She's told me many times, she's like, I love my job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you want those kind of people.
Yeah, definitely. So I need to utilize the people that I have. And then also, like, I am hiring right now. We did one interview yesterday, have a couple more this weekend. You know, like one of those people, I looked at a resume, I was like, ooh, you might also be good for, to put a little admin work onto, you know, based on some of her work history. And I was like, oh, so maybe I'll do that and that. And I'm like, I'm just kind of like lining it out in my head, but I'm like, I have to, because my goal is to move and run my business from across the country. Yeah. I have to not be the go-to person. I have to not be the backup sitter. I have to not be the only one that can see this dog or this cat or whatever, right? I can't be that person. So that's my real motivation, is that I'm trying to move back to Vermont.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, you mentioned that thing of like, oh, this information isn't in time to pet, but I just know it, so that's fine.
Right.
I mean, just the other day, I mean, I'm training a new staff member, and he stepped out of the car and he has all of his gear, and he starts bringing in his leash. And I look at him, and in my head, I'm going, oh, you don't need that leash. But in my head, I'm going, he doesn't know that. He doesn't know. Right. He doesn't need. How does he? The only way he knows that is because he reviewed the information and didn't see anything about there. So he assumed. I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to go make another flag from time to pet. Now add a thing, leash needed or leash not needed, so people know. Yeah. And going at foundational stuff about the pet care and recognizing there's so much institutional knowledge in the company, whether that's for your existing staff or just you. And that has to be externalized somewhere. It's got to be. Otherwise, it's kind of pointless to have it in any one person, because if they leave, something happens. That, you know, that information stops. Amy, I want to thank you so much for your time today. How can people get connected with you and follow along with everything that you're doing?
Probably the best. Well, I am a little hard to get a hold of, I hear. But you can call. It's 360-216-5681, which is also on my website, which is onmydogsitters.com. That's probably the best way. And there's an email link on there as well.
I want to thank you for walking us through that and encouraging us to step outside of ourselves and think bigger and trust others to make that happen. And so thank you so much for your time today, Amy. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
How do we know we're the bottleneck in our business? Well, when everything waits on us, when we keep having to apologize to people for not getting that thing that they asked us to do. And this includes the impacts that it has on our personal lives as well. I'm sorry I missed that lunch again. I'm sorry I couldn't get on that phone call. I'm sorry I didn't get that email back to you. When we recognize that we cannot do it all, be it all for everybody, then we can look to making big changes. And whatever that looks, it's not always hiring. Sometimes it's in saying no to those clients. Sometimes it's in hiring that CPA, that tax accountant, whatever that looks like. Recognize and spend time identifying where you are the bottleneck in your business and what changes you need to make a difference. We want to thank today's sponsors, Time to Pet and the Peaceful Pet Music, Calm Music for Pets on YouTube channel for making today's show possible. And we really want to thank you for listening. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. We'll be back again soon. I'm gonna go get some more.